God's peace to all this evening.
And what a blessed thought that is, that all my sin, all of our sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to his cross, and we bear it no more. Thank the Lord. I'd like to bring greetings from Florida, from Lake Worth, Florida. The Christians there sent their greetings. And also the Christians in Greer, South Carolina, in that area, also sent loving greetings to wherever we went. So be greeted from them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. For this evening, I was going to read just one verse from Luke, the 24th chapter, and then the 47th verse. That's Luke, the 24th chapter, and the 47th verse. And we'll read this in Jesus' name. And that repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Amen. In 1957, which was about 60 years ago, 59 to be exact, this church was dedicated. It was a brand new church. And it was during the fall services at that time also. And I'm sure that some of you know and remember that time, some of you that are my age. I was 6 years old at that time. And there was a preacher called here from Berkeley, California, and his name was John Rikkonen. And he spoke at the dedication services along with Michelson, and I'm not sure how many others. But it's amazing how God works. As I was contemplating the speaking this evening, and I had thought about John Rikkonen and these services that he had been at and dedicated them, because I have a little booklet of his sermon, and I've read that many times, and it's a precious sermon that he spoke. It's God's word. But without my wife's knowledge, this morning I woke up and we were talking, and she brought to me a photo on her phone that was just so surprising to me, and I didn't know it existed. What it was a picture of my dad's car in front of the church here, and he was standing like right over there with two little kids. I'm sure one of them was my sister Gloria. I'm not sure who the other one was. But in 1957, I would have been 6 years old, like I said. And I lost my mother when I was a baby. So I didn't come with my dad. My brother Ted and his wife Nancy told me that I could come and live with them. So I lived with them since I was 4 years old. And I was so thankful to have a Christian home to be brought up in. As my dad was left with eight children, I was a baby of eight children, he was overwhelmed and wasn't able to take care of me. So anyway, that car and the photo of the car and him being here, I didn't know he was here at for those services. It was amazing to me. But yes, John Rikkonen spoke at those services, and he spoke of, he said, I could speak about the glories of heaven, but we don't know all the glories of heaven. He said that we know it's going to be so beautiful there. But I want to tell you how to get to heaven. And he said that he was speaking to mainly the young people, and He said that many today, and this was 60 years ago, that they're not inquiring how to get to heaven. That there isn't there a wondering and an inquiring, how can we get to heaven? And so I thought about that, and John Rickenen spoke of repentance and the forgiveness of sins at those services. He also spoke of sin, the sin that so easily besets us. He spoke of the conscience, and the conscience that even gets such a tough skin around it that nothing fazes it and nothing bothers it. He spoke of Satan and the devil, that a personal devil that we know always attacks us. It says in Revelation that he's the accuser of the brethren. He seems like he never gives up, does he? Even in our sleep, sometimes in our dreams, he attacks us. And he spoke of judgment and of hellfire, the fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels, the fire where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. And he spoke of awakening. That could there be an awakening? That could God yet revive us again and bring an awakening among us? Yes, this verse that we read, it says that and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And as we look at repentance, we want to speak this evening so even the smallest children here could understand us. That repentance means that we're sorry for sin. We're sorry for our sin. And Rickenen, he made mention in those services that how can we repent if we have nothing to repent of? And how can that be? How can that be that a person would need grace and forgiveness and mercy from God, but didn't have anything to repent of? And so, as we look at the idea of repentance and the realization that we need to know what the knowledge of sin. We need to know what sin is. And we know in the catechism it teaches us that we sin much every day and deserve nothing but punishment. And isn't it the members of our body that, you know, we have a battle going on against the world, the devil, and our own flesh. And that is where the battle is. And it starts with the members of our body. This flesh that we carry is against us. And the world around us, the culture and the things that we are part of, but we're of the world, we're not in the world. And so we live as it says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, that as pilgrims and strangers we're passing through this life, and our goal is heaven above. And so in our members we have these, first of all, our mind. And isn't our mind an enemy to us? I find that mine is. The thoughts that go through my mind are just continuous, and there's thousands of thoughts that pass through. And if I had to put my thoughts on the walls of this church today, just the thoughts that I've had today, you would probably tell me just to get out of here and don't come back. But isn't it wonderful to know that we have a Father in heaven that has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to shed his blood on Calvary's cross, and that we can be washed clean. But yes, our mind is something that it's the devil's area where he would work on us, and we need to get control of the thoughts that we have, and it's only by God's grace and his help that we can do that. Yes, our mind, it says in Philippians 2, Think on those things that are of good report, that are honest and true. Think on those things. And then our mind is in the right area. Isn't it wonderful when we can wake up in the morning and we can open our Bibles and get into God's Word and we can pray. And the Lord would lead us that day. And that when we're immersed in God's Word, that then our mind is filled with those things, the things of His Word, and He's leading and guiding us. And it's such a strength to us to have that Word. It says that Word is hidden in our hearts that we might not sin against Thee. That Word is with us, and it encourages us and gives us strength to travel through this life. And then we have our eyes. Our eyes are amazing. You know, we need to guard our eyes from what they see. I remember things as a small boy, maybe 4 years old. I can still remember them today. And I'm sure for all of you, you have those same experiences that we can remember things. And sometimes they're the bad things that we remember. But yes, our eyes that see so much. It says the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life are of the world. They're not of the Father, but they're of the world. And yes, we feel sin in our members, and we feel corrupt, but we know that He that is in us is greater than that Satan and the evil that is about us. And so with our eyes, we want to look on those things that are good. And there's so many things that can capture our eyes today that we know we're even going about in the world, that sometimes we have to almost close our eyes or cover our eyes because of the way the world dresses and the things that we see. We can only, when we see those things, we can only pray to God that He would give us the strength not to look. And Job, it's interesting, Job, he made a covenant with his eyes. We know that, we've read that he made a covenant with his eyes that he would not behold those things. And may we all, as Christians, be able to control our eyes, and it's only again through the Lord and Savior who gives us that strength and ability to look on those things that are good. There's so many things that can draw us in this day and age. We live in a day and age. Imagine 60 years ago when Rikkonen preached. Yes, the devil was there and sin and Satan, but it's so much greater today, and it's so much more available. You know, we have the internet, and it's on the phone, and the things that we can behold on the internet, there's terrible things there. I would want to warn you young people, don't ever look on those things. There's addictions that can happen with the things that are on these phones, and many people have been taken up by them, and we pray God that He would protect us and keep our eyes single, as it says, and looking in Proverbs, it says that we would look just straight on, not to the right or the left, but look straight on. And we know who that is when we look straight on, and that's that as we're running this race, we're looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And then we have our ears, the many things that we can hear with our ears, the things that we shouldn't hear, and the mouth and our tongue. Isn't our tongue full of deadly poison, as it says in James? It has a power of life and death. We can destroy people with our tongue, or we can build them up and give them strength and courage and encouragement and give them hope. With the tongue, many people have created situations where has been broken love between brothers and sisters in faith or families. And it's so difficult to get those straightened out, isn't it? Jesus said that we should before we bring our gift to the altar, we should reconcile ourselves with our brother. And I believe that he's referring to the Holy Communion, that when we, before we partake of communion, that we would reconcile ourselves with our brothers. If there's any difficulties or any hard words or any anger, that we should reconcile. And we know what that reconciling means. It means that we should confess our sin. And what a comforting gospel there is that we can hear from our brother or sister that believe your sins all forgiven and washed away in the powerful name and the holy shed blood of Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. And then our hands and our feet. May our hands not do those things that aren't right, and may our feet not take us to places where we shouldn't go. Father, help us and preserve us. And then we move on in this verse. It says, repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in his name among all the nations. And we know what remission of sins is. That's a forgiveness of sin. Jesus said God says it in the Word, it says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah, may God give us that ability that we could confess our sin. And that we know that Jesus has gone to the cross, as we've already mentioned, that Jesus went to the cross, he suffered and died there for every one of us. And that we could know that it was our sin that nailed him to the cross. It was our sin. But he was willing to suffer the pain, the agony and the torment that he went through was tremendous because he loved us so much. He was willing to do that, all of that, so that we could have this shed blood, this blood that is so precious. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without the shed blood, there's no forgiveness. And again, Rikkonen spoke of a sprinkling blood, a speaking blood. That there's a sprinkling blood, and that is found in only one place. And in fact, this blood and this sprinkling blood is found only amongst the children of God in the Lord's own congregation. There would be many that would want to say that we can go direct to God and confess our sin. But the Bible tells us otherwise. That Jesus is the door to the sheepfold. And that those that would want to climb up some other way are thieves and robbers. They'd want to bypass the cross and bypass Jesus and the blood and go direct to God. No, we can't have a ladder. We can't build a ladder to heaven that way and go direct to God. In the time of the Tower of Babel, they tried to build a tower that would reach to heaven. And what did God do? He confused the languages so that they could not go forth anymore and build that tower. And so it is that we have this access to the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's only among men. There's no other place that we can get that, and that's among men. Because Jesus brought it down to earth. He breathed on his disciples and says, I receive you the Holy Ghost, and whoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whoever sins you retain, they are retained. We can also read in the second chapter of Mark, when the man with palsy was lowered down through the ceiling. Imagine that. The house was so full that they couldn't get in. So they opened up the roof and they dropped the man with palsy down on a rope on a bed. And Jesus spoke to that man, and he said he was amazed at his faith. And he told that man, he said, "Believe your sins forgiven. Son, be of good cheer. Believe that your sins are forgiven, that take up your bed and walk." And the Pharisees that stood there that day and saw that, they said, who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus said that that God is able to forgive sins. And so we just thank him for that ability that we can, in the Lord's own congregation, hear that our sins are forgiven and washed away in the name and blood of Jesus Christ. And that we can, by faith, look into Jesus. And we have to realize it's not in our confession, it's not in that foundation of our confession, but it's Jesus Christ that we look to. But it's important that when we confess our sins, that we name them by the name that they're committed in. And to hear and believe that blood that washes them all away, that we can, by faith, believe that. And we can go forth with a wonderful peace and joy in our consciences and in our hearts. And I've experienced myself that I've tried to believe over sin, but it just doesn't work. That the sin would keep coming back over and over again. And it's only when I've been able to confess and name that sin that bothers me. And again, we don't want to put a burden on anyone that it's, we know it's impossible to confess all of our sins, but as the Catechism tells us, that we confess those sins that we know and feel in our heart and that bother us and trouble us. And isn't it just a wonderful thing, and you've all experienced this, that when we've confessed those things that trouble us and bother us, and that when we can hear the gospel, that son or daughter or brother or sister, that believe all of your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious shed atoning blood, that we have a peace and a joy that is, it passes all the world's understanding. Like we sang in this song this evening, that we have a peace like a river. We have a joy that is just overflowing in us. And so we thank God this evening that as a children of God, that we can go forth with this peace in our hearts and the joy of salvation, and that we can look to Jesus again, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And as we run this race, that we throw off the weight and the sin, because it so easily besets us, and then we can run light and free and easy, and we can have our goal, the heavenly home, that home in heaven that God has gone to prepare for us. And that we are the blood-washed throng. And it says in Revelation that those that were before the throne in heaven, that these were they that came out of great tribulation, it says in the 7th chapter of Revelation. These are they that came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. What a joy to know that one day that we can be all gathered there and we can be around that throne singing the new song of salvation, honor and praise and glory to our Heavenly Father. And this evening, I want to assure all of you this here evening that believe, all of you, all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and his precious, holy, shed blood. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.